Pull up that easy chair and sit right down for the best music in your town. On.
You're on Way Back with Johnny. Now don't turn that dial. The program's about to begin.
It was a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps you've seen in your dreams. For the story that you are about to be told took place in the holiday worlds of old. Now, you probably wondered where holidays come from. If you haven't, I'd say it's time you begun.
Gather round, and I'll elucidate on what goes on outside when it gets late. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight to see what goes on Halloween night.
Hello, I'm Vincent Price.
But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Ah! Listen to them, children of the night. What music they make.
You killed the wolf.
There's no crime in that, is there?
The wolf was Balaam.
To age my voice, an old hag's cackle.
Are you one of the fright?
It was a monster's holiday.
Well, all you ghostly goblins out there, and werewolves too, I'd like to welcome y'all into this Way Back with Johnny's 10th anniversary of our Way Back Haunted Hayride here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. Yes, we're going to pay tribute to the Halloween holiday today with our Way Back Haunted Hayride. Our 10th anniversary is this year, and with that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to all kinds of spooktacular music, as well as great memories of along with y'all today. So sit back, relax, and watch out for those black cats, and happy Halloween, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the Mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the Mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
Gotcha.
Good evening. I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off your set now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken! Hey.
Well, all you ghostly goblins out there in Radio Land, this here's your old host, or should I say ghost of a host, Johnny Whitlock, here on the Way Back Haunted Hayride 2025. With that mentioned, I'd like to share that we are coming to you via the Whitlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, on the shores of the St. Lawrence Seaway. We can also be heard through historic, yet haunted, CFRC 119 FM on your haunted radios, and from the Limestone City of Canada. We can also be heard via our home on the internet, or should I say spider web, through our Durham County's Oshawa Rocks. We can also be found on the Way Back with Johnny Whitlock program on YouTube as well. I'd like to share that this is the last weekend on October 2025. I'm also up here in Niagara Falls at the Frightmare 2025, their Halloween Comic Con. But we have taped this program in advance for y'all today. With that shared, we're celebrating All Hallows Eve, that all monsters and Halloween type show that y'all look forward to every year, with spooky songs and spooky surprises as well. Today probably won't be one of your favorites if you're not into spooky stuff, but we are once again celebrating our 10th anniversary of the Way Back Haunted Hayride. I started this program way back in 2016 as a tribute to Halloween's episodes that folks like Elvira,
Mistress of the Dark,
and Dr. Demento,
the Dr. Demento Show,
as well as the legendary Wolfman Jack did back in the day.
It's Wolfman Jack.
In the golden era of radio. So it'll be my hope today to, along with you, spook up some great spooktacular music. So let's open up with Gene Autry, the King of the Cowboys, and the Ghost Riders in the Sky. Then we'll follow with a live version of Ben Crosby's song called The Headless Horseman, which appeared in the Disney film Ichabod and Mr. Toad way back in the 50s. With that, I would like to say happy Halloween to each and every one of you out there in Radio Land.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day,
village he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yay! Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and heard their mournful cry. Faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. They've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear 'em cry. Yippee-yay! Riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell a riding on a range, then cowboy, change your way today or with us you will ride, a trying to catch that devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yay!
Time upon us, we bring you Philco's Little Hobgoblin with eyes of blue and a pumpkin too, Bing Crosby.
And now for Kiddies Everywhere, here's a tune from Walt Disney's production Ichabod and Mr. Toad. And John Scott, let's make this real spooky and wait till I get it. Now! Man, that's pure spooky, yeah. Now gather round while I elucidate on what happens outside when it gets late. Long about midnight, the ghosts and banshees get together for their nightly jamborees. There's ghosts with horns and saucer eyes and some with fangs about this size. Some short and fat, some tall and thin, and there's some don't even bother to wear their skin. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, frightful sight. See what goes on in the night. When the spooks have a midnight jamboree, they break it up with fiendish glee. Ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed, that's the headless horseman, he's the worst. When he goes jogging across the land, holding his noggin in his hand, demons take one look and groan and hit the road for parts unknown. 'Cause there's no spook like a spook that's burned.
They don't like him and he's really burnt.
He swears to the longest day he's dead, he'll show them that he can get ahead. Close all the windows, lock the doors, unless you're careful, he'll get yours. Don't think he'll hesitate a bit, 'cause he'll clip your top if it'll fit. Likes him little, likes him big, part in the middle or a Westmore wig. Black or white or even red, the headless horseman needs a head.
With a hip, hip and a clippity-clop, he's out looking for a tot-to-chop.
So don't stop to figure out a plan.
You can't reason with a headless man.
After dark, now you kids be good. Better stay at home the way you should. 'Cause right outside and waiting there is the headless horseman.
Beware!
Man, I'm getting out of here.
Well, yes, friends, as we welcome y'all back into the Way Back Haunted Hayride for 2025, I would like to welcome y'all into this program as we celebrate the spooktacular songs and sounds of Halloween here today. With that shared, I would like to begin the program, as we usually do, with sending out some special dedications. First of all, it's going to be a very topical song for this time of year, talking about country bumpkins and pumpkins and what have you. And it's going out to my beloved Mama Dawn for her today with Halloween wishes. And it's going to be a song by 1974's number one singer of this song called Country Bumpkin, and that of course is Cal Smith. Then we'll follow with a song going out to my stepfather Big Daddy Al. For him today it's going to be a classic by Johnny Cash, one of his favorite singer-songwriters. And by the man in black it's going to be a song called Annie Palmer, the Witch of Rose Hall. And then we'll wrap up this set with none other than a song I would like to play and dedicate to all the bluegrass friends out there today who like a good old bluegrass favorite called Bringing Mary Home. And this is a ghost story, friends, so I do hope y'all enjoy it. With that, watch out for those flying bats and walking black cats. Whoa, happy Halloween out there in Radio Land.
He walked into the bar and parked his lanky frame up on a tall bar stool. With a long, soft southern drawl, said, "I'll just have a glass of anything that's cool." A barroom girl with hardened, knowing eyes slowly looked him up and down. And she thought, "I wonder how on earth that country bumpkin found his way to town." And she said, "Hello, country bumpkin, how's the frost out on the pumpkin? I've seen some sights, but man, you're something. Where'd you come from, country bumpkin?" It was just a short year later, in a bed of joy-filled tears, yet death-like pain. Into this wondrous world of many wonders, one more wonder came. That same woman's face was wrapped up in a raptured look of love and tenderness. As she marveled at the soft and warm and cuddly boy child feeding at her breast. And she said, "Hello, country bumpkin, fresh as frost out on the pumpkin. I've seen some sights, but babe, you're something. And mama loves her country bumpkin." 40 years of hard work later, in a simple, quiet, and peaceful country place, the heavy hand of time had not erased the raptured wonder from the woman's face. She was lying on her deathbed, knowing fully well her race was nearly run. But she softly smiled and looked into the sad eyes of her husband and her son. He said, so long, country bumpkin, the frost is gone now from the pumpkin. I've seen some sights and life's been something. See you later, country bumpkin. She said, so long, country bumpkin. The frost is gone now from the pumpkin.
One time I went down to Jamaica to a place called Rose Hall Plantation. They grow a lot of sugar cane and tomatoes and things at Rose Hall now. It used to be just a sugar cane plantation back in the days of slavery. And they tell stories about the place and about the great house at Rose Hall that many, many years ago, there came from the country of Haiti a lady named Annie Palmer who lived in that great house there. And she was the mistress of the plantation. She was the boss. Her word was law. Well, they tell a lot of tales about Annie. They say she had three husbands, one at a time, I guess. But they also tell tales about Annie and the slaves. There were about 5,000 slaves on the plantation. And she had her favorites, and she had the ones that weren't her favorites. Well, down on the sea, there are three tall palm trees waving in the breeze, and they say that maybe Annie Palmer's three husbands are buried under those palm trees. On the island of Jamaica, quite a long, long time ago, at Rose Hall Plantation, where the ocean breezes blow, lived a girl named Annie Palmer, the mistress of the place. And the slaves all lived in fear to see a frown on Annie's face. Where's your husband, Annie? Where's number two and three? Are they sleeping neath the palms beside the Caribbean Sea? At night I hear you riding, and I hear your lover's call, and I still can feel your presence round the great house at Rose Hall. Well, if you should ever go to see the great house at Rose Hall, there's expensive chairs and china and great paintings on the wall. They'll show you Annie's sitting room and the whipping post outside, but they won't let you see the room where Annie's husband's died. Where's your husband, Annie? Where's number two and three? Are they sleeping neath the palms beside the Caribbean Sea? At night I hear you riding, and I hear your lover's call, and I still can feel your presence round the great house at Rose Hall.
Something strange about her, for her face was deathly white. She sat so pale and quiet in the back seat all alone. I never will forget that night I took Mary home.
she told me to go. Got out to help her from the car and opened up the door. But I just could not believe my eyes, for the back seat was bare. The porch, someone opened up the door. I asked about the little girl that I was looking for. The lady gently smiled and brushed a tear away. She said, "It sure was nice of you to go out. 13 years ago today, and a wreck just down the road. Our darling Mary lost her life, and we miss her so. Thank you for your troubles and the kindness you have shown. You're the 13th one who's been here, bringing Mary home.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl. And do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Hi, this is Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. And I want to wish you all a happy, happy Halloween with my good friend Johnny Woodcock. Boo!
But on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls.
Now, friends, I would like to once again take our weekly trip up into the haunted mighty Ottawa Valley. With those spooky backwoods, the legendary Ottawa Valley, being steeped in rich, ghostly, and enchanting myths, as well as stories of the bygone days of the lumberjacks and such, I'd like to send out a few ghostly dedications here this morning. First, we'll send out a song to my friends and radio family, Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret Chapisky in Eganville, Ontario. For them, it's going to be a classic by the man we all remember as Ottawa Valley legend, Mr. Ottawa Valley himself, Mac Beatty, and Peter Pumpkin Eater. Then we'll follow with a song from my dear friends Vic Garbutt and his wife Linda May in Iron Prior, Ontario. And they're both very much associated with the Ottawa Valley. Vic does his weekly program called Vic's Classic Country every Sunday, 7 to 10 over CJHR Valley Heritage Radio. Anyways, for them, it's going to be Ronnie Prophet, a dear friend of mine for many years before his passing in 2018. It's going to be his classic called Phantom of the Opry. And then we'll wrap up with a song going out to Tom Wilson, who, like myself, like historical songs and facts. And it's going to be a song by Freddie Dixon and the Ghost of Robert Lyon, which was written and recorded by Freddie Dixon many years ago. With that, I would like to say Happy Halloween and good day to all my Valley listeners.
There's a tiny little guy who's very dear to me. Blondish hair and big blue eyes, his age is 3:30. Every night he holds me tight and climbs upon my knee. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, daddy sing to me. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, all the kiddies call. He comes running and they're funnin', doesn't mind at all. Jolly grin upon his chin, he's happy all the time. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, little boy of mine. Brother Johnny, sister Bonnie, they both love him too. With his mummy, he's quite chummy, little eyes are blue. His cat Bozo follows him, he owing all the time. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, little boy of mine. Peter, Peter,
Peter, Pumpkin Eater, all the kiddies call. He comes running, and they're funnin', doesn't mind at all. Jolly grin upon his chin, he's happy all the time. Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, little boy of mine. Someday he'll grow up, I know, and go out on his own. And I know we'll miss him so when he's away from home. In the meantime, we'll enjoy each ray of his sunshine. Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, little boy of mine. Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, all the kiddies call. He comes running, and they're funnin', doesn't mind at all. Jolly grin upon his chin, he's happy all the time. Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, little boy of mine.
The Nashville Phantom, and I've been hanging around Saturday Night Live since 1925, since the opera first came to town. I lived in barnyards, boxcars, and freight yards. There ain't a honky-tonk where I ain't been. Raised on goo-goo bars, moonshine for fruit jars. Born to lose, but determined to win. I'm the Phantom of the Opry. I discovered all the stars, my friend. I am the spirit of country music. Keep these cards and letters coming in. I gave Mother Maybelle her thumb pick, Carl Perkins his blue suede shoes, Todd Acuff the fiddle, made Jimmy Dickens little, and sang Hank Williams the blues. I taught Grandpa Jones how to banjo, Chet the pig, but I learned him to grin. I laid a howdy on many, made string beans skinny, and I do it all over again. I'm the Phantom of the Opry. I discovered all the stars, my friend. I am the spirit of country music. Keep the cards and letters coming in. I took Bobby Bear to Detroit City, Bob Wills to San Antonio. I put the shine on the boots, rhinestones on the suits, and the hurting in a country song. I was there for Jamie's first blue yodel. I grew the bluegrass for Bill Monroe. I made the king of folk Katie, then I made Dolly pretty, and I'm still moving on with Hank Snow. I'm the Nashville Phantom, and I'll be hanging around, checking out the big stars and tuning up the guitars. Together we're the Nashville Sound. Ernest, I've walked them floors with you many a night. And Charlie, I give you that country pride.
And Mamel, I even gave you your stutter.
I taught the Duke how to walk.
God darn it, even put a nail in Walter Brennan's shoe.
Hey gang, and I even told the DJs how to say.
On the banks of the Perthy River, where the last fatal duel was fought, rides the ghost of young Robert Lyon. The old burial ground marks the spot. Oh, the night was cold and misty, with the full moon shining so bright. Gunfire broke the silence. Someone screamed, Robert Lyon's been shot. Miss Elizabeth Hughes was a beauty, and jealousy it did prevail. Was fought for her honor. John Wilson's shot never failed. Now as I lie there a dying,
with a pistol ball deep in my chest. I swore I'd come back to haunt them, John Wilson and all of the rest. The judge gave John Wilson a warning. They should have hung him or sent him to jail. The ghost of Robert Lyon's been seen riding a white horse on the Tay River Trail. Miss Elizabeth Hughes was a beauty, and jealousy it did prevail. The duel was fought for her honor. John Wilson's shot never failed. First shot it missed me, and 10 lonely steps we both made. The second round fired and it hit me. Now I'm lying here still in my grave. Miss Elizabeth Hughes was a beauty, soon jealousy it did prevail. Was fought for her honor. The shot that hit me never failed. John Wilson's shot never failed.
Cruella de Vil, if she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Hello, this is David Frankham, Hollywood actor, and the voice of Sergeant Tibbs in 101 Dalmatians. And you're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock, on The Way Back.
The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil.
Oh yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to an interview I got to do last year in 2024. However, because of the fact that my voice was not there because of sickness last year, we never got to air it or do a Way Back Haunted Hayride last year. But with that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to an interview with the star of the Little House on the Prairie series, who played the nasty Nellie Olson, none other than Alison Arngrim, whose mother was also the legendary Norma McMillan, who voiced the friendly ghost and lovable ghost Casper for many years back in the 60s. With that mentioned, it brings me great honor to invite y'all to sit back and relax as we share this interview from last Halloween. Following this interview, we will hear an all-time classic by Norma McMillan, and it's going to be called Boo Boo the Beautiful Ghost, and that, of course, was on the 1961 album Casper the Friendly Ghost. With that, here's my good friend, Alison Arngrim.
Well, hi!
How are you today?
Well, I'm very good.
So, let's go back. Your family was very well-known Hollywood legends.
Indeed.
Would you share who your family was?
Well, it's very crazy. My parents, I was born in New York, and my parents were in the theater in Vancouver. In fact, my father founded a thing called the Totem Theater in British Columbia.
Okay.
My mother got into voiceover. They'd done radio and all that sort of thing that people did in the 50s. And so they were in radio, and so when they got to New York, my mother started going out for voiceover job. And wow, she did really well. And she wound up becoming the voice of Casper the Friendly Ghost. She's the voice of Gumby. She's Sweet Polly Purebred, Underdog's girlfriend, as
yes,
well as Davy of Davy and Goliath.
Exactly. So how did she get a hold of that Casper character? I understand she wasn't the original, was she?
No, because it started back in the 30s with the serials they would show during the movies.
Okay.
She came in the early 60s because she had been on a comedy album, and for those of us old enough to remember, there was an album called The First Family. It was all about JFK, all about John Kennedy and Jackie, and the fellow family, and Caroline and John. And it was one of the first comedy albums to really mock a seated president. And they were people, he was so popular, record companies, so I don't think we can put that out. Of course they did, and it was the biggest selling album in history at that point.
Yes.
And my mother was the voice of the children, Caroline and John.
Oh, wow.
And it was such a hit that she got calls to come be everybody. So she was in so many cartoons. I mean, she was in those four famous ones, Underdog and all that. But she was in other cartoons as well. It's just, I mean, Saturday morning TV when I was a child, I would turn it on and half the things I was watching were my mother's voice. And she'd just pop up as a character in another cartoon. It was amazing.
Yeah. So would she have worked with the legendary Mel Blanc?
She did not get to meet Mel Blanc that I know of. She worked with Dawes Butler.
Oh, yes.
And of course, she worked with Wally Cox, the actor Wally Cox, who was the voice of Underdog.
Yes.
And she worked with several of the big... She knew June Foray. What delighted, of course, me as a kid was she was friends with the woman who did the voice of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay, Billy Mae Richard.
Billy Mae. So she would get a Christmas card.
Okay.
And I was like about 7 or 8. My mother would say, this Christmas card is from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Exactly.
And she was always willing to do the voices to impress my friends. I was, you know, I'd go to kindergarten, first, second grade. She'd come to school with me, walk me to school. And like, I would have told the kids, and they often do. They don't believe such a thing. In the second grade, some kid says, my mother's Casper. Sure, she is. I said, well, I explained. And some kids don't understand. I knew you went to a studio and you recorded a voice. Mm-hmm. I said, no, they record the voices. And some of those smarter Hollywood kids went, oh, right, yeah, the voice. She came down. They said, can you do the Casper voice? And she said, yes. She'd stand there in the schoolyard. She'd Casper and Gumby. And years later, I was in my 20s, all these guys who were like college age and big animation collectors were like, oh, my God, your mother is Gumby. Your mother is Sweet Polly Purebred. And they all had to meet her. And they threw a party. They actually threw a party for her.
Yes.
So she would come over to their house.
I see, yes. And you were also well-known as well as Nellie Olson. Now, Little House on the Prairie also had some Halloween episodes I'm surprised about.
Well, that's the thing. You know, most TV shows, they'll have a Christmas episode or two. Mm-hmm. Very few shows, back in the day especially, did Halloween episodes.
Exactly.
But we had Michael Landon producing it, and Michael Landon's birthday is October 31st.
Okay.
He was literally born on Halloween. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, Allison. No, I didn't.
He loved Halloween. He loved pranks and scares. And remember, Michael Landon's first movie that gave him his start, got him famous, was I Was a Teenage Werewolf.
Oh, yes, it was, yes.
He was obsessed with werewolves and Halloween and vampires and the whole thing. So, oh my God, we must have had 3 or 4 or more Halloween episodes.
That's
of
right.
Little House, which like never happened.
And so tell us about the werewolf episode, if you remember anything about it.
Werewolf Walnut Grove, with the Creeper Walnut Grove. We had Halloween Dream. We had what, the one where at the end where we got the Headless Horseman.
Yes.
We could not leave Halloween alone on that show. It was great.
It's amazing.
And Halloween, yeah. Although, I mean, for historical accuracy, yes, Halloween was celebrated in the 1800s,
yes.
But not as much.
It kind of
came over from the Irish and were really into it, and the Irish and the British, so there were people more on the East Coast, but probably in the 1870s in the middle of the country that it wasn't really catching on yet. But we decided that Walnut Grove knew all about Halloween. It's hardly even mentioned in the books, but oh boy, we sure did it in the show.
For sure, yes. Now, what are some of your memories of Liberace? I know the last time you and I spoke, you had told me about trick-or-treating at his place.
Absolutely true. So my dad got a job working as a personal manager. Big gig was he got work at Seymour Heller and Associates. And if you ever saw the movie they made about Liberace, Seymour Heller was played in that Liberace movie by Dan Aykroyd, and it was an excellent performance. That is exactly who Seymour was like. And Seymour Heller, my dad was Western Regional Vice President of something. And so Seymour said, I'll take care of Liberace in Las Vegas, but you get to take care of him here in L.A. So we actually rented a house around the corner down the street from Liberace, and I got to go see Liberace shows as a child, which is hilarious. But and then at Halloween, all the kids knew it was Liberace's house. And the young kids, Liberace was over there. So we said, well, we got to go trick-or-treating at Liberace's. I mean, so we'd all band in, we'd go up the huge driveway.
Yes.
Now, Liberace would, of course, be out at a party on Halloween, but he had a butler. He had servants, he had staff, and this butler would literally come to the door with a silver tray with these little pumpkins, and they were plastic pumpkins. They were black on one side, orange on the other. They were lovely little plastic pumpkins filled with jelly beans, and I mean like really good. It was like totally high-end candy, no cheap candy at Liberace.
We
never got them anywhere else. We're like, ooh, gotta go get the pumpkins with the jelly beans. But it was amazing to go to Liberace's, have the butler come up with the candy, but to be able to tell your friends at school, like, trick-or-treating at Liberace's, that was less than.
Exactly. So was there anything that happened on the set of, I know I'm jiggling between the two subjects, but was there any scary things that happened to the set or on the set of Little House?
Well, when we would go up to Sonora to shoot the scenes, and anytime you saw a forest or a big river, that's we went to Northern California location for a couple weeks and shot all the river scenes. And there was this little teeny town, it was a Twain Heart or something cute, that we would stay in this tiny hotel, in this tiny little town. And so everyone would find ways to amuse themselves. I remember there was like a roller rink, but there was an old cemetery.
Okay.
And you bet, come Halloween, we were shooting up there one time, and Michael and a couple guys in the crew, they got bed sheets and they hid behind the tombstones, and the parents convinced Melissa and the kids to go visit the go see the cemetery on Halloween, I dare you. And sure enough, Michael and his friends were hiding behind the tombstones and jumping up and going, oh, they did it. Scared the wits out of them.
Exactly.
He also told Melissa Gilbert, when she was still quite young, first year show, that there was a place behind one of the buildings. Someone says, don't go in there because there's a rhino gator that was a cross between a rhinoceros and an alligator that would eat you. And she believes this.
I see.
And he was really little. And he's like, the rhino gator. Yes, those are back there, kids. The rhino gator will get you. He was always telling him to look out for the rhino gator. Any kind of way, stories, pranks, scaring small children, dressing up. Oh, my God.
He loved it all. Quit.
He was mad for that. And then I grew up loving Halloween. I grew up in Hollywood. I also always liked the villains. I liked the scary people.
Yes, exactly.
So when I was really little and, other little girls were dressing up as the blue fairy or princess, I thought, one year I was the devil and Frankenstein's monster. I was a vampire a couple of times. I always got hold of the scary costume.
Okay.
I remember I had a really good scary costume one year, and a group of us got to the door, and the poor lady who was giving out the candy, she thought it'd be great to have her very small toddler child take the bowl of candy to the door. And the kid thought it was great, too, but this kid was way too little. She gave her the bowl of candy and said, here, honey, go to the door, trick-or-treaters. And kid took one look, screamed, dropped the candy, and ran. We're like, well, our costumes are good. That's good.
Yeah,
we had to take off our masks and come in and show the kid we weren't actually monsters. I always went for the scary costume. It was great.
Yes, and even you played the scariest character in the old TV shows, too, so there you go. A couple more questions, but what is your thoughts on your mother's character of Casper and her version of it?
It was great because, as she said, he's a friendly ghost. I mean, in the very, very, very first cartoon from the 1930s, they actually do make it plain, and it's kind of a morbid plot, that a little boy did die and become Casper. And so, that's weird, but that is literally in the 1930s because, you remember, cartoons back then, they weren't for children. They showed them in the movie theaters for grown-ups. So it's a kind of a dark story, but this kid who dies becomes a happy ghost. I'm like, that's weird. All right. But by the 60s, was Casper been a ghost for so long, nobody cared. It was Casper. My mother really got into the character. He was very innocent and friendly, and he was a misfit. He was an outcast. The other ghosts were supposed to scare people, and Casper was bad at it.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be friendly. And then that, of course, then you had the character of Wendy, the good witch.
Exactly,
Couldn't scare anybody. Mm-hmm. Nightmare the Horse, and then Spooky. She did all of them, because that's the funny thing. She's Nightmare the Horse. She's Wendy the Witch. She's Spooky the Little Other Man Ghost. With a lot of these cartoons, you had two people. You had her and a guy. And so there's a guy. He's all three of the ghostly trio and pretty much everybody else.
Okay.
And she's everybody. So there's a Casper album, and you can get this. You can get this for Halloween. You totally get this online.
Yes.
There's a Casper album. You can download it, the file. You can buy the CD, whatever. And it's a musical album from the early 60s, and it's just my mom and one guy in the studio. And it's like a huge musical extravaganza with a cast of thousands.
Amazing.
My mother has a number called Boo Boo the Beautiful Ghost, where she does kind of a Marilyn Monroe ghost. And it's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers, but it's still out there. And she did. She talked about that we'd ask her to do a cartoon, and they'd say, well, it's a raccoon. How do you do a raccoon as opposed to, say, a skunk? If she did, she would just say, look, is it a little boy raccoon? Is it a little girl raccoon? Is it a sweet little boy? Is he a tough little boy? And hence you get Casper and Spooky and Wendy and all of these characters all done in the same day.
And how long did it roughly take to make cartoons back then, or do you know?
They banged them out pretty quick, and the animation and the voicing seem to be separate. I don't know, over the years, they've changed the technology as to whether they're drawing it first and then matching the voices, but they don't really match the voice to the screen. I think they record first, but I think my mother certainly did. She would go to the studio with Wally Cox for Underdog and Guy for Casper, and they would record several episodes at a go.
Exactly.
And they might do several in a day, and then come back a few weeks later and do a few more. They would really just bang them out because they had the scripts right there and they knew the characters. characters well, and so they could really get through them very quickly if you have someone who really knows what they're doing, which they did.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I went to the studio a couple of times. I did go to the studio with her.
Oh, did you?
A couple of times for Underdog. I met Wally Cox when I was a little girl. I liked him very much. I loved Wally Cox.
Yes.
And he was also a great writer. He actually wrote a children's book right before he died. Did not get enough press and should have been made into a movie, and it's a great book. So,
okay.
The Tenth Life of Osiris Oakes, about an Egyptian cat that comes back from the dead.
talking about Halloween.
Yeah, Wally Cox is brilliant, very eccentric. Yeah. And I remember going to the studio with her for things. My mother and I once auditioned together for the voice of a doll.
Okay.
We didn't get it, which is too bad because we were brilliant. We were really good. We just didn't get it. It was a doll that had finger puppets was the thing.
Oh, wow.
So the doll talked. They pulled the string, the doll talked. But when you used a different puppet, the doll spoke in different voices.
Amazing.
So that's why they were bringing in people like my mother, and they even had me audition because they wanted to have multiple voices for the doll.
Multiple voices for the doll. So how do you spend Halloween nowadays?
Even if, like, nothing's happening, I will carve a pumpkin. I will not go Halloween without going to the supermarket, getting a pumpkin, getting out the knife by hand.
Yeah.
Carve a pumpkin. My husband carves, too.
Yes.
Sometimes you usually make the classic scary face with big teeth. My father taught me how to do it as a kid. But sometimes I'll get, you know, very artistic and make, you know, very sort of like surreal faces and all kinds of things. Or make a very happy pumpkin.
Amazing.
I've done all sorts. Sometimes I make them very scary. I do very different designs. And I do it very old-fashioned. I scrape that. People get artificial pumpkins now. I'm like,
yes, sadly.
I get a real pumpkin.
Yes.
I scrape it out. Every couple of years, I try to roast the seeds. Everybody says, oh, the pumpkin seeds are so good.
Okay.
I try to slow roast them in the oven. It is a lot of work, and they never come out right.
Yes.
They're always a little too dry. You break them open. It's just so much work to get them out of the shells, and they don't taste like the ones from the store. So
exactly.
I can't recommend roasting the seeds unless you really have that kind of time. I've made pie out of pumpkins I've carved for jack-o'-lantern. Not that great, because generally when they make pumpkin pie, what they really use are those little tiny pumpkins or sugar pumpkins,
the pie
pumpkins, or they often use butternut squash. Your pumpkin pie is really more butternut squash pie. So actual carving pumpkins don't taste very good, so not good for that. But I would always try to make stuff out of them. Trick, if you are putting it on your porch for a long time, spray it with Lysol. Dry it with paper towels, and then spray the whole thing with Lysol. And
This
kills the immediate bacteria, so it won't mold for several days.
Oh, wow. I never knew that. Okay.
You can't eat it after that. Do not eat it.
No, exactly. That's for sure.
But it will keep it from getting moldy, because they'll do it quite fast out here. I have now started using the non-flammable artificial lights in my pumpkin so they aren't a fire hazard.
Yes.
But I used to do it the old way, the big old lit flaming candle.
Exactly.
It's insanely dangerous, and I don't know how we all did that. I trick-or-treated until I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But I had some epic costumes. I've always handed out candy. I always have the good candy. Now, I live on the street. Hardly, if we're on a hill, people don't like to come up here. So sometimes we'll just pack it up and go to a friend's house, because her street gets way more trick-or-treaters. And we bring boxes of candy and see to it. I never hand out anything less than like a full Snickers.
Yeah. Exactly.
We get none of that fun size. We'll have some small candy, but we go and get boxes of the full-size candy bars, Milky Way, Three Musketeers, the whole bit. And so when they all come to this one house, our friend's house, we're like, look, we've got bags and bags of the small stuff, the sweet tarts, you know, the very small candy, but we have full-size candy bars of like Milky Way and Snickers. We are not fooling around on Halloween. We don't chip anybody at Halloween. You got to get the good candy.
Exactly. Well, Allison, I want to thank you for being on the Halloween show, and I hope to do it again
with you
sometime soon. Have a good day now. Take care.
All right. Happy Halloween. Yeah. Bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.
I wonder if you'd like to take a short side trip to Ghostly Wood.
Ghostly Wood? What's that?
A forest, silly.
I'm afraid you're wrong. Ghostly Wood is our version of Hollywood. Ghosts like movies, too, just like human boys and girls do. And we have our own studios and our own cameras and even our own movie stars. And you're going to meet a real movie star.
Yeah.
Who
is it? Elizabeth Taylor.
Anna DeLovely.
Sandra Dee. Tell me.
No, this is a ghost movie star. Shh. Here we are at the studio and they're filming. Let's wait till the number is over.
Okay, boys, roll them.
I'm Boo Boo, the beautiful ghost. And my friends all say I'm the most. I have big round eyes and two lips so sweet. I use liquid bleach with chlorinol in every sheet.
and Boo Boo, the beautiful ghost.
She's the toast of each ghost, coast to coast.
And when I haunt him, I really taunt him.
Boo Boo, the beautiful ghost. Boo Boo, the beautiful ghost.
Round eyes and two lips so sweet. I use liquid bleach with chlorinol in every sheet. And when I haunt him, I really taunt him.
Boo boo, the beautiful ghost. Boo boo, the beautiful ghost.
That was wonderful, Boo boo. Come on over and meet all the boys and girls.
Casper, darling, how nice to see you. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Ghostly Wood.
Why don't you tell them a little bit about your new movie, Boo Boo?
Of course, darling. It's called Ghost Riders, a Ghostern. I guess people would call it a Western.
Oh, boy. I love Westerns.
I'm glad. I hope you'll enjoy your visit to Ghostland. Casper, darling, I'm afraid I have to run. We're filming, you know.
Now, friends, following that classic by Norman Macmillan and also our interview with Alison Arngrim from 2024, I'd like to welcome you all back into this, the 10th anniversary of the Way Back Haunted Hayride. First formed in 2016, with that mentioned, it is time to crawl back into the dungeon here on the Way Back with Johnny show here this morning as we revisit a vinyl blast from Vinyl Pass. But first, we must open the vinyl vault door. Now the vinyl vault door is wide open and the haunted dungeon is once again wide open for another ghostly Halloween. It is time to turn back the years to the 1960s, in fact, to the year 1962, when the greatest Halloween song of all time was released. It was originally recorded and written by Bobby Boris Pickett, and many have recorded it since, but it's going to be a longtime classic of the Halloween genre of music, and a novelty song in many ways, but it's going to be the original Monster Mash. With that, let's unearth this timeless classic here this morning as we pay tribute to all you ghouls out there listening in on Way Back with Johnny. Welcome in, friends. Now let's turn back the year.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what is sent.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And you, my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
Easy goes some boy.
Mash. Monster mash.
Now, friends, following that classic by Bobby Boris Pickett from 1962, we are back here on the Way Back Haunted Hayride, and it's once again that time to pay tribute to the ghostly classics and Halloween fun here this morning. As we mentioned that, it's now time to turn back the years to the gospel favorites of long ago. However, there was some very dark songs about the Bible. With that mentioned, we're going to pay a tribute to a song called Satan's Got a River, and that, of course, is by the Wagon Master of Country Music, Porter Wagoner, off of his last album. And with that, we would like to pay tribute to this all-time classic ghostly gospel favorite, and we will be back following this on the other side of the hour. Welcome in, friends.
Satan's got a river deep and wide. Yes, Satan's got a river, and it's so deep and wide. He's got folks a-swimming in the warm, smooth tide. But someday Satan's river is gonna run dry. What was once a smooth river, hot lava will make the tide. Stay clear of Satan's river. Heaven's on either side. Satan's got a river, deep and wide. Yes, Satan's got a river, and it's so deep and wide. He's got folks a-swimming in the warm, smooth tide. Big yachts are sailing Satan's river so smooth. Never stopping or thinking about God's golden rule. When the river starts sinking, they'll cry, I've been a fool. 'Cause Satan's got a river, it's so deep and wide. Yes, Satan's got a river, and it's so deep and wide. He's got folks swimming in the warm, smooth tide. Satan's got a river, deep and wide. Yes, Satan's got a river, and it's so deep and wide. He's got folks a-swimming in the warm, smooth tide.
I was working in the lab late one night.
Hello, everyone. This is Ron Chaney, the grandson of Lon Chaney and great-grandson of Lon Chaney Sr. And if you're like me, and hopefully you are, you're watching The Wolfman this Halloween and listening to your ghost of a host, Johnny Woodlock, on the way back on an A-Ride. Keep it here, my friend, and happy Halloween!
Any sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise...
Well now, friends, following that classic gospel favorite of the dark side of gospel, we're back here once again on the way back with Johnny's show. We're still coming to